ER101. In conjunction with the American College of Emergency Physicians, get the 411 on your 911. Here's your host, Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, and welcome back to ER 101. Well, it really does sound like a horrible science fiction horror movie, but a parasite, an amoeba that actually gets in and destroys your brain, called a brain-eating amoeba, it causes an illness called PAM, which is primary amoebic meningoencephalitis, which is a mouthful. And my next frequent guest on the show, Dr. Ryan Stanton, a board certified ER doc from Kentucky, is here to talk about it because it's sometimes common in the South. Welcome. Thanks for being here, Dr.
Stanton. Well, thank you very much for having me.
So what's amazing to me is that this is so rare, right? I think in the last 50 years, I was doing a little research, the CDC reported 123 cases. Yet this past summer, we heard about two teenage kids that contracted this bizarre protozoan infection.
Well, it seems like the last couple of years we've had several spots. I mean, even last summer, we had several that contracted it associated with the neti pots, and some with the stagnant water as well. But this year has been the same thing, and I don't know if it's just where the water has been a little bit warmer, where we've had a couple of warm summers here in the southeast, or what the cause is. But it seems like something that's gotten a lot more attention, and it's one of those things that scares a lot of people, but still it's insanely and incredibly rare. But unfortunately, for a couple of families in the southeast, it's all too real right now.
Yeah, it's true. And you mentioned heat loving, and I think some of the stuff that I read is it is we've been having it's a combination, I guess, of drought if you're looking at water or standing water. So, and then I guess if there's less water there because of the drought, it heats up more. So isn't that the key? It's the heat and the temperature, because it is mostly in the southern clime.
And it's that warm, stagnant water, and it can even be, it's not just like the ponds, it's always associated with ponds and things like that, or small lakes, but also can be with under-treated waters. In fact, the young lady that survived, they feel like that she actually contracted it at a water park, and so it can be from under-treated water as well. I remember going down south, deep south, down to Texas in the summer, and the lakes down there would make it up to 94, 95 degrees in late summer. So we're talking about a lot of heat, and the folks up north aren't going to understand how hot when a lake gets the temperature of your bath water, of how that feels. But also, it produces that perfect environment for these opportunistic infections. And this is basically one of the quintessential opportunistic infections. It's one of those things where if you have the water, the contaminated water, and you drink it, you're going to be completely fine. It's just the root of administration is what it's all about.
So basically what happens? So you said it. It's how does it get into your body? So it's not from drinking the water, because I don't think anyone in their right mind would go into a dirty, yucky-looking creek and take a swallow, hopefully.
No, but even that, understanding that with me having a five-year-old and a three-year-old, just with the learning process, they drink a lot of water, not necessarily on purpose, but, right. But they take in a lot of water. And but it has to do with it being forcefully injected up the nose. And last summer, a couple of the cases were associated with a zip line, where they fell off the zip line or from a rope swing and hit the water, and the water went up their nose. That's how this gains access and starts the process of infecting the patient. So it has to go up the nose and then gets within the sinuses and within the nasal cavity, and that's where the infection starts off. And so it's not from drinking it or getting any other access or getting it on the skin or anything like that. It all has to do with injection of the nose, and that's what gives this thing a chance to go.
So your grandmother was right, that triangle by your nose, if you pop a zit, it can go right into your brain from that area, right?
It's going to go right up the brain. I mean, this would be kind of the perfect October 31st show, because it's almost a horror story when it comes to, you know, brain-eating monsters that go up the nose. And so it's one of those infections that's really frightening to hear about how it works. There's a 1% survival rate with it, so it's something that there's still really no successful treatment for. And really, this young lady, the 12-year-old that's now going to start school again next week, really
amazing.
Is a miracle child when it comes to getting through this.
All right, so let's talk about it. So what is this? What's the name of this amoeba, and what happens when it gets up your nose?
Well, it's one of those things that even you and I were sitting here talking right before we came on with how to pronounce it. So it's one of those things in medicine. There's 100 ways to pronounce it, and all of them are right, and the weirder you say it, the smarter you sound. So it's the Naegleria fowleri.
Okay.
And, or Fowleri, however you want to say that last part. It's actually an opportunistic amoeba, so it's a single-celled amoeba that's free-living, so it's loose and it will swim around, microscopic amoeba, so very small, and amoeba just meaning a single-cell living organism. Very rare, typically in fresh water, warm fresh waters. That's why we see a lot of the southeast, lakes, rivers, springs, even in the soil, but also can be in under-treated water, so with well water, things like that. There was the huge warning that came out a couple of last summer about the use of the neti pot, something that's still really popular in the southeast, but making sure you sterilize the water because you actually produce that forcefully, putting substance up the nose, and so it actually reproduces the method by which this gets there. So you need to make sure that you use sterilized water to do that. So it's
so
there's
boil
a lot of places
it, but
that it
don't
can be.
Put it up your nose boiling, right?
But yeah, don't put the boiling water straight out of the teapot in your nose. Yes, it can be cool water; it just needs to be boiled or sterilized beforehand. And so it's any type of water that sits around, and it. For folks that are in the South, they kind of understand right now some places where it's starting to dry out. These ponds are starting to get pretty stagnant just at the very bottom where they get kind of nasty. But also, particularly where I am in central Kentucky, we've had a whole lot of rain. So there's a whole lot of water around right now just from all the rain we continue to have. So it gives a great opportunity for these types of these amoebas to get going if necessary.
And they're sort of in the sandy, you know, the sediment part of the water. So the more shallow the water, if you stir it up and get that in your nose, that's worse even than, say, a deeper lake or something like that.
Yeah, it's one of those things that it's the nastier the water, the worse the potential. But it's one of those things that you want to be as safe as possible, and especially with people that, you know, I used to make fun of as a kid the people that would hold their noses as they jumped in the water, but apparently they're the smartest people around the pond today. They're the ones that aren't going to get the brain-eating amoeba.
Yeah, that's pretty good. And the symptoms, so it's almost like a meningitis, right? It starts out
it's
as
a type
a meningitis.
Of meningitis. And so the typical symptoms we hear from that being the severe headaches, the fever, the nausea and vomiting, the confusion, the vision changes, the neck stiffness, those are the things we look for. And the diagnosis, it comes from a lumbar puncture, so what we use to diagnose spinal tap, so what we use to diagnose meningitis, it's just a different thing that comes out. Typically, you know, we're typically looking for the bacteria and the viral type infections, but on rare occasions, we'll see the amoebas, and then recently with all the stuff with the contaminated with steroids was the fungal type infections as well. So the diagnosis is still the same. The way we do it is still the same. It's just the symptoms will be very similar.
Right. It's just we haven't had a great drug yet that could kill this amoeba. And in fact, the little boy that died in Florida, he was kneeboarding in a ditch that had water, which is probably a big, kind of red flag because it wasn't a normal area that had water. And then you're right, she was undertreated. But she got an experimental drug now that the CDC is releasing for these rare cases. But it's still considered a miracle. There's like three people that have survived total. In history, right?
Well, the CDC actually reports that 128 people have gotten it since 1962, and only one has survived. And I'm not sure if that's counting this young lady, so that may put the number to two. But either way, it's a small fraternity that have gotten this and survived through it. And unfortunately, it is something that's scary. It's incredibly rare. Hopefully, some of these medications will be successful. We can find something to treat it. But so far, I think we're dealing more with luck than we are with a consistent treatment for it.
Okay. Well, thank you. Hold your nose when you jump in the water and don't stir up sediment. This is ER 101. I'm Dr. Lee Vanocur on Radio MD. Stay well.